Good afternoon. It's 40 degrees in Richland Center at 1208. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Sauk County Sheriff's Department has released the identities of those involved in a fatal crash Monday night in Prairie du Sac. John S. Lovell, 70, of Seattle, Washington, was traveling westbound passing a semi. While passing, he entered the eastbound lane and struck an eastbound vehicle operated by Craig W. Lowry, 45, of Milwaukee. Lovell was transported to a local hospital for injuries sustained during the crash. Craig Lowry was pronounced dead at the scene. The cause of death for astronaut and hero James Lovell was released this week. The Lake and McHenry County, Illinois scanner website reports the Apollo 13 commander died from complications related to a hip fracture after a fall at his home. He was honored with a Navy funeral last week. Lovell moved to Milwaukee as a child and went to Juneau High School. He died in Lake County at age 97, August 8th. Today, 9 Head Start locations across Wisconsin are preparing to close because of the government shutdown, leaving parents just days to improvise how to work without childcare. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The Head Start program provides childcare, preschool, and support for about 15,000 children across Wisconsin. It gives low-income families early education, but also things like health screenings, dental care, and support to connect them with resources like food benefits or job training.
They're predominantly working families, working in the retail sector, they're working in hospitality, they're working in our hospital. So they're a part of the foundation of our economy. Head Start is a critical part of our state and our community's infrastructure.
That's Jenny Maurer, the executive director of the Wisconsin Head Start Association. The program is largely funded by the federal government. And because of the federal shutdown, two organizations that run Head Start in their communities are not getting their funding. The Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program operates 9 locations in Grant, Greene, Iowa, Lafayette, and Richland counties. Without money to pay their bills and their staff, those 9 centers close Monday, leaving kids without their safe place to grow and learn, and leaving their parents scrambling.
Parents do their best to find safe places for their children, but we know that what often ends up happening is that children are shuttled between lots of different care situations, and that oftentimes children get watched by other children. Families get increasingly desperate when they're trying to make things work.
The Head Start program in Sheboygan will continue for 2 more weeks, but will likely close after the 14th. That would leave a total of nearly 400 children without care in Wisconsin.
If the government shutdown continues, in December, 1,000 more Wisconsin children could lose their Head Start programs. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and her colleagues introduced legislation to ensure there is not a disruption in vital food assistance for 42 million Americans, while funds for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program are withheld. Baldwin and her colleagues pushed for expedited passage of the bill, the Keep SNAP and WIC-funded Act of 2025, to ensure that SNAP recipients are not cut off from their food assistance come November 1st, but Senate Republicans blocked the measure. The Keep SNAP and WIC-funded Act of 2025 directs the USDA to immediately release billions of dollars in available funds to ensure SNAP and WIC benefits continue uninterrupted for the remainder of this fiscal year. The legislation also requires the federal government to reimburse states for covering SNAP benefits during a shutdown. In Wisconsin alone, approximately 700,000 people are at risk of losing their food assistance benefits if the USDA does not utilize available funding to continue the program. Of those receiving assistance, 270,000 are children and 108,000 are senior citizens. A Wisconsin State Senate committee considered proposed legislation on Tuesday that would make school bus safety education mandatory for student drivers. While many drivers' education programs do cover school bus safety, it's not technically required under state law. The bill would guarantee student drivers learn to operate safely around school buses on different types of roads. The goal is to reduce the number of school bus safety violations and avoid the potentially severe consequences of passing buses picking children up or dropping them off. To honor the upcoming 50th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a new memorial has been erected along Lake Superior in Washburn. The memorial was built with locally sourced and historically significant materials, including part of the Ashland Ore Dock and taconite pellets, which was the ship's cargo when it sank in 1975. Organizers are inviting area residents to a dedication ceremony on Saturday at the Washburn Marina. The dedication ceremony will feature a reading of crew names and statements from community members. Consumers have choices, and during open enrollment periods when time is limited, it is important to understand the differences between health insurance and medical discount plans. These plans are sometimes mistaken for insurance, but in other cases, they are misrepresented by dishonest sellers. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, and Office of the Commissioner of Insurance of Wisconsin are partnering to educate and inform consumers during the current Medicare open enrollment period and upcoming Health Insurance Marketplace open enrollment period, which begins tomorrow. Legitimate medical discount plans usually charge a monthly fee in exchange for a list of providers and sellers who are willing to offer reduced prices on certain services, products, or procedures. Some discount plans charge high prices for little benefit or are very limited in what services and medications they provide discounts for. Consumers should investigate. Dishonest businesses sometimes misrepresent medical discount plans as health insurance plans or a substitute for traditional health insurance. If a plan claims to offer unusually high discounts or is made to seem like insurance but is never called insurance outright, consumers should end contact, even if they initiated the conversation. Plans that are promoted as low-cost health insurance are not always what they seem to be. Before consumers choose a plan, they should know if there are coverage limitations or out-of-pocket costs before buying any plan. Consumers should always ask to receive the full details in writing and take time to carefully review those materials. Consumers should contact their preferred healthcare providers to confirm whether they will accept a specific plan and contact the plan seller with other questions. Consumers should resist pressure to act quickly and instead take time to confirm a plan is legitimate and beneficial to their situation. Consumers can check with the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance of Wisconsin to verify if an insurance company or agent is licensed in Wisconsin at oci.wi.gov/lookup. For more information about or assistance with Medicare enrollment, consumers can visit medicare.gov or call Medicare at 1-800-633-4227. Wisconsinites can also learn about their coverage options on the individual health insurance market at wiscovered.com. Consumers are encouraged to speak with a licensed insurance agent or broker by calling 608-261-1455 or 1-877-942-6837 to get connected with a navigator or search for a certified application counselor who can assist with enrollment. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources encourages hunters to donate Wisconsin harvested deer through the DNR's Deer Donation Program. The program helps stock food pantries and supports residents in need throughout the state. According to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, more than 700,000 Wisconsin residents received food assistance in 2024, and demand is expected to rise. Since the program began in 2000, hunters have donated more than 100,000 deer, totaling over 4 million pounds of ground venison, to help Wisconsinites in need. Wisconsin has a network of venison donation partners, including county land and water conservation departments, food pantries, charitable organizations, USDA Wildlife Services, and participating meat processors who all help implement and administer the program. Deer harvested outside Wisconsin cannot be donated. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services requires deer harvested in certain counties be tested for chronic wasting disease before or at the time of donation. Hunters interested in donating a Wisconsin harvested deer to the DNR's Deer Donation Program should follow these steps. Field dress the deer. Please handle the carcass as if it were destined for your own plate. A couple of bags of ice placed in the cavity will help preserve the carcass in warm weather. Register the deer through Game Reg. Please note the registration confirmation number and keep it on hand when dropping off the deer. If your deer was harvested from a county that requires CWD testing, please ensure you complete the required CWD testing before or at the time of donation. An up-to-date list can be found on the Dear Donation Program webpage. Contact a participating processor before dropping off the deer to make sure they have space to accept it. More processors may be added later in the season, so check back if you don't see one currently in your area. If donating a deer being tested for CWD, inform the processor and provide the CWD barcode number. The processor will not distribute the deer until the results are known. Hunters and non-hunters may also support the deer donation program through a monetary donation in person at any Wisconsin hunting license sales location or online through their Go Wild account. Visit Wisconsin's Deer Donation Program webpage to learn more about the program. Wisconsin ranks in the top 10 in Kuru Footwear's 2025 trick-or-treating report. The report looked at five key factors: walkability, child population, safety, search interest, and Halloween night temps to determine the sweetest spots in the U.S. for trick-or-treating. Wisconsin earns its top three ranking with a focus on safety and family fun. The state reports a low pedestrian fatality rate of 0.92 per 100,000, one of the best in the top 10. A walk score of 62 makes neighborhoods somewhat walkable, while a youth population of 20.8% ensures plenty of children are out collecting candy. With Halloween temps averaging 47 degrees, Wisconsin offers a safe, spirited, and classic fall trick-or-treating experience. It is Halloween, and there is plenty to do around the area for all ages to celebrate the day. The Viroqua Chamber will host a free Halloween celebration from 3 to 5 at the Vernon County Fairgrounds for all ages. Local businesses and community members will be handing out candy, showing off creative costumes, and competing for the best trunk or booth. The Richland Center High School Student Council and Skills USA will host a family-friendly trunk or treat event from 4 to 6 in the Richland Center High School parking lot. Trick-or-treating in the village of Cazenovia will be held from 4 to 7. Get treated at the Richland Hills Apartments lobby. Trick-or-treat residents in one place from 4 to 7. The Richland Center Free Methodist Church will host its annual Trunk or Treat from 4 to 7. Stop by for a treat and warm up with a free hot chocolate. Citywide trick-or-treating in Richland Center will take place from 4:30 to 7. Park Street Christian Church will host an in-trunk treats from 4:30 to 7:30. The first 50 attenders can get a free hot dog. Avoca, Blue River, and Muscadet Lions Club will host Trunk or Treat from 5 to 7 at the Cradwell Building in Muscadet. Stop by for free hot dogs and hot chocolate and watch a free Halloween movie. Trick or Treat from 5 to 7 at Shake Rag Alley in Mineral Point. All ages are invited to meet friendly, costumed characters who will be passing out Halloween treats. A rave yard masquerade will be held from 8 to 1 at the 80 German Warehouse in Richland Center. Derek Kalish is an organizer of the event. He says rave can be construed in many ways, but this rave will be a wholesome event.
One of the really cool details with this is we're going to have a DJ there. DJ Requiem will be there to provide 5 hours of all vinyl, tech house, and clubhouse set music. That's a type of music, so a rave typically has a type of music, and without going into those details, I'm just going to generally say like a club music. So we've never done this at the warehouse before. This is new, but the point of this event is an opportunity for those 21 and older to kind of create their own alter ego and come to this event by donning fine masquerade attire or expressive fashion. So expressive is defined in many different ways, but I'm talking about velvet suits, theater masks, you know, like you see like the Phantom of the Opera type masks, bright colors, bow ties, colorful, that form of self-expression. Formal dress is not required, but if you want to show up in a velvet suit, that's probably what I will do with a cool mask. So the 1921 Lounge will also be open during this time, offering their usual fare and a few signature cocktail drinks, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So this environment's actually going to be a really cool thing that's high energy, high sensory, fast-paced music, like I said, the tech house and the clubhouse music, a very communal event, you know, where you focus on dancing and self-expression. So again, this is not a huge party scene, but we're focusing on the music, everyone coming together to have a really good time. We'll have some mood lighting, some lasers, of course, gotta have a fog machine here and there, and things like that. So the elements of the rave culture that we're hoping to incorporate into this is to create that fun, exciting, euphoric escape that fosters that strong sense of community, unity and respect.
The Raveyard Masquerade is replacing the Haunted Warehouse as a Halloween fundraiser. Ashley Mott, another organizer of the event, invites all those 21 and over to come as their alter ego.
It's kind of fun not to know who people are because they're wearing masks on that night. Halloween is a very eerie, spiritual day in itself. So it's, you know, kind of using the elements of Halloween as well to kind of, you know, be mysterious in some aspects.
General admission is $25 per person. Ticket price is just for the price of admission. Beer, wine, seltzers, and non-alcoholic beverages will be available for purchase at the 1921 AD Lounge. Tickets will be available at the door. The warehouse will also be open during regular trick-or-treat hours for all ages from 4:30 to 7. All of us at WRCO wish everyone a safe and happy Halloween. Applications are now being accepted for the 37th Annual Manufacturer of the Year Awards Program. Baker Tilly, Michael Best, and Frederick LLP, and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce partnered together each year to host the program in order to highlight Wisconsin's manufacturing industry. Wisconsin's manufacturers generate over $73.7 billion each year, which accounts for just under 20% of the state's gross domestic product. Four grand award winners based on company presence in Wisconsin will be recognized for their impeccable performance across all benchmarks. This year, the program organizers have also launched a Spotlight Award track to recognize specialized excellence in a specific benchmark. Spotlight Awards will be awarded in four categories: business resilience and growth, community impact and investment, excellence in product and process innovation, and commitment to workforce. While nominations are open to the public through October, companies must formally submit their applications by December 10th. Manufacturers are encouraged to apply for one grand award and are up to two spotlight awards. An independent panel of judges made up of trusted leaders from Wisconsin's manufacturing, education, and business communities will carefully review every application and select winners, which will be announced at a black tie ceremony in February. Learn more about the program and submit a nomination at WIMOTY.com. The Kiwanis Club of Richland County will begin taking requests for coats for kids this Saturday. The Coats for Kids program has been a mainstay program for the local Kiwanis Club for over 15 years. The mission of Kiwanis is to serve the children and their families of the community. If your family situation makes it a hardship to provide coats for your children, this program is for you. The program is a cooperative effort between the local Kiwanis Club, Richland County Health and Human Services, and Wallace Cooper and Elliott Insurance Agency. A request for coats can be made by contacting Kiwanis President Steve Colstead at 608-647-2655. Richland County Health and Human Services will be the pickup location once your request is processed. If you would like to make a donation, Wallace Cooper and Elliott will be receiving new or gently used children's coats beginning Saturday through Saturday, November 15th. If you would like to make a monetary donation, checks may be made out to RC Kiwanis Club and Note Coats for Kids. All donations may be mailed to RC Kiwanis Secretary Treasurer Tom Haugen at 28898 Rustic Valley Lane, Richland Center, 53581. If your child is in need of a coat, request will be accepted through Monday, December 1st.